Texas and Florida are rolling back reopening efforts as coronavirus infections hit a new record in the U.S. Plus, Pride Month and the fight for equality.
This really is a tipping point and an inflection for really the larger culture around issues related to race and around LGBTQ issues.
And what does the coronavirus sound like? It's Friday, June 26th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. The number of confirmed coronavirus cases in the U.S. has reached a new daily record. Nearly 40,000 new infections were reported yesterday. Four states, Florida, Texas, California, and Arizona, account for nearly half of the new cases, according to Johns Hopkins University. Today, Florida reported a nearly 80% increase in confirmed cases from yesterday. In response to the continued spread of the virus, some states are pulling back on plans to reopen. Texas is now limiting restaurants to 50% capacity and requiring bars to close at noon except for delivery and takeout. And Florida is suspending alcohol consumption at bars. In Washington today, the White House's coronavirus task force held its first briefing in nearly 2 months. Public health officials say young people make up the majority of new infections. Dr. Anthony Fauci is the White House's top infectious disease expert.
I think what we're missing in this is something that we've never faced before, is that a risk for you is not just isolated to you. Because if you get infected, you are part, innocently or inadvertently, of propagating the dynamic process of a pandemic. Because the chances are that if you get infected, that you're going to infect someone else.
Vice President Mike Pence says President Trump wants to open the economy while taking precautions. In the coming days, Pence is planning to visit hard-hit states, including Texas, Arizona, and Florida. The rise in coronavirus cases sent U.S. stocks sliding again today. All three major indexes lost at least 2%. Our markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar says investors are concerned about how the continued spread of the virus will affect the nation's economic recovery.
The big worry also in states that aren't rising as much from a coronavirus standpoint is that people won't feel comfortable going out and spending money. There are also longer-term worries that the government hasn't provided enough fiscal stimulus, and there's uncertainty in the coming months about how well the economy can do without additional support. All of those worries are dragging down stocks after they had a really strong weeks-long run.
The Dow fell 3.3% for the week, the S&P was down 2.9%, and the Nasdaq fell 1.9%. And Unilever, the company behind brands including Dove soap and Hellmann's mayonnaise, is halting U.S. advertising on Facebook and Twitter for the rest of the year, citing hate speech and divisive content on both platforms. Unilever joins a growing list of companies boycotting Facebook, including Verizon, Patagonia, and REI. Also today, Facebook said it would put in place new policies to better protect minorities on its platform and fight voter suppression efforts. Tech companies are facing greater pressure to crack down on misinformation and hate speech on their platforms. Twitter says it's developed policies to protect and serve the public conversation. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about Pride events and whether this year could mark an inflection point in the fight for civil rights. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the first Pride March in New York and the 51st anniversary of the Stonewall riots that launched the LGBTQ movement. Instead of parades, this year celebrations will largely take place virtually due to the coronavirus pandemic. Joining me now is Kathy Renna, spokesperson for New York City Pride and Global Pride. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Thank you for joining me.
Sure.
So, Kathy, a lot of Pride parades have been canceled because of the coronavirus here in New York and in other cities around the world. How is the community celebrating during the pandemic?
Well, I think I'd say first that we're sort of celebrating with a small C. You know, this has really impacted so many of us. We did have an amazing, positive Supreme Court decision that was very historic, bigger than marriage even last week with the Title VII. But I think what we've done is, you know, something that the queer community does all the time, which is pivot and be very resilient and still find ways to connect. We're a community that has always used the internet to connect because so many people are isolated in many ways, whether it's geographic or otherwise. And so all of the events are virtual. We're having great success with both New York City Pride and with Global Pride 2020, which is actually interesting in that it's going to allow access to Pride events and communities that otherwise would never have the opportunity to be there. You know, so we can have folks in China, in Eastern Europe, in Australia, in the United States, in the UK, in all of Europe, connecting around issues and individuals and celebrities and politicians and people that we care about. And at the end of the day, Pride for me is about that connection, is about knowing that you're not alone, that you're part of something bigger. And so it's really been extraordinary to watch, particularly because so many of these people are volunteers, come together to try and create a platform for the LGBTQ community at a time that is obviously extremely difficult for so many.
In recent years, Pride has also been criticized sometimes from within the community for becoming too commercialized. But we've seen a number of LGBT protests in recent weeks, too, that are connected or adjacent to the Black Lives Matter protests. Pride started as a protest movement. Is the community going back to its roots in a way?
I don't think we ever left them. I mean, I think the interesting thing is that a lot of people don't even realize that the Stonewall Uprising was in fact a response to police harassment and police brutality. And that is something that we acknowledge every year. I think it's easy to make a simplistic criticism of Pride's because people only see the march. And so they only see some floats from corporate sponsors. But the reality is that sponsors stayed with us this year. You know, that organizations like T-Mobile and MasterCard and Sky Vodka and others are fully supportive in doing everything they can, even in this economy, to show the community that they support us in doing, whether it's a virtual human rights conference, whether it's Global Pride, whether it's the rally that we normally do in front of the Stonewall that will be done virtually, or whether it's the special programming that we're doing on Sunday to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the first Prides held in New York and other cities in 1970. So, you know, the truth is we won a huge decision around job discrimination last week, and most people didn't even realize you could be fired for being queer in so many states. Businesses were the ones that were stepping up and saying, we won't do business with you, North Carolina, if you pass this law that's anti-transgender. So I think we really just need to balance that message out and bring some context to it.
Does this feel like an inflection point as we see more people taking to the streets for civil rights? Does more change feel possible to you, not only for Black Americans, but for the LGBT community, for civil rights for everyone?
Well, that I think has really been the takeaway message for me in the last month, because when you look at the crowds that are out there, and I've been to several protests, some were Black Lives Matter protests, and some were more focused on queer Black lives. And to me, it's about the intersection, that we are finally waking up to the fact that we need to deal with both racism within the LGBTQ community and also homophobia and transphobia in the larger culture, and the fact that there are so many queer people of color who are disproportionately impacted in so many different ways, particularly around hate crimes, as we see trans women of color being brutalized and killed in numbers that are just horrifying. I mean, it's been called an epidemic by the CDC. And so we've been talking about this issue for years, and it feels like it's finally coming to the fore. It was extraordinary to see 15,000 people in front of the Brooklyn Museum to protest because of the loss of Black trans, particularly Black trans women in our community, to police violence and to hate violence. And we're seeing action come out of this after a month. We're seeing policy. We're not just seeing a hashtag and a protest and then everything goes back to, you know, quote unquote normal. I think this really is a tipping point and an inflection for really the larger culture around issues related to race and around LGBTQ issues.
That's not to say there still aren't many challenges ahead, right?
Absolutely. We have so much work to do. I mean, the Supreme Court decision was huge. It was bigger even than marriage equality because it affected so many more people in the community. But we do still need to pass the Equality Act because what happened at the Supreme Court last week does not cover everything, does not cover, in fact, a lot of things. And so for full equality in the workplace, we do absolutely have more work to do. And we have to do the work, as we see, you know, with the insidiousness of racism and how it still permeates our culture. Homophobia, transphobia are no different. Sexism, no different. And so, yes, there's still a lot of work to do, but I do feel hopeful when I look out my window and see thousands and thousands of people and really the diversity of all our communities out there standing together.
I've been speaking with Kathy Renna, spokesperson for New York City Pride and Global Pride. Kathy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
And finally, for decades, some creative scientists have explored the parallels between DNA and music, turning strings of amino acids into musical notation. It was only a matter of time before someone did it for the coronavirus. MIT scientist Marcus Bueller used part of the virus's molecular code to make this arrangement. Reporter Lee Hotz covers science for the Wall Street Journal.
This is the music that's embedded in the structure of a virus that currently has paralyzed the entire planet. I mean, it is killing people, it's making people sick, it has paralyzed our economy. You would think this music would be, I don't know, antagonistic, unpleasant, angry, aggressive. Instead, it's oddly soothing. I mean, it's almost relaxing. It's the sort of thing you might hear in a spa while you're soaking in the hot tub or getting a massage. It's like the virus is on some molecular levels trying to lull us all into a false sense of security.
The hope is that hearing the virus may help us better understand it. You can hear the whole track on WSJ.com. And that's what's news for this Friday afternoon. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. The show was produced this week with help from Nora Eckert, Mark Garrison, Kateri Yoakum, Sam Westren, and Chris Sinsley. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.